This is We Met You When, a podcast by journalism students at Toronto Metropolitan University. We go back in time, dig up news stories from 2013, and track down the people in those stories. This episode is a little different. We want to take you behind the scenes of each episode of season two. To let you in on our process,
one of the goals that we could have when telling the story is to be uplifting and to really highlight all of the experiences in a hopeful way.
Our struggles.
The story potentially getting cut was something that definitely shocked us.
And it still might have that potential
Let's just not think about that for now.
And what surprised us about the making of this season?
I connected with it on somewhat of a personal level, but I never thought that it would actually get to this stage where it is now. And I've seen that evolution is really crazy.
I'm Sheila Reed. You're listening to We Met You When, Inside Season 2.
You're really well spoken.
Yeah.
The way you articulate things and everything, you're really well spoken. But I was like, okay, how do we make the podcast, I guess, more this kind of joyful more aspect to it? And then I got to know your more funny side.
Guys, so you're making me blush.
I am Farfunda Azizula, but everyone calls me Far.
I'm Daisy Kim.
I'm Matisse Sheik, and we produced the episode called Memories of Mammy.
How challenging is it for you guys to, when you're writing the script, to, sort of get in my shoes and, write about, my feelings and, things that I would say,
Every day, in class, I get to know your character more. So it was okay, this is something, I think Matisse would say something like this, you know what I mean?
At first, I guess you seemed a bit quiet and cold and stuff, you know, but I think as we were in a group together, I actually got to know more about both of you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I write things, I was pretending to be Matisse, you know, I am Matisse. And I'm doing this assignment. And I was thinking, will he actually say this? I don't know you that well. I don't really know about your family at all, but I think I'm having a good time about these new things, because these are also the things that you didn't know about your own family.
I think then switching the narrative to you was the best idea. I love the emotional aspect of it, and that takes a lot of courage. And I love doing stories that are more personal. Mm-hmm. I just think they speak to people more.
I mean, the whole process has been tiring, to say the least. I think I kind of underestimated how emotionally draining I would be at this stage. I don't know if that's because we got 5 hours of sleep last night. This whole process has been really, I really felt throughout the whole process, I felt everything we were doing is paying off, and I could see that through our versions of our script or the versions of our clips and edits and mixes. Even in the edits, when I was editing the clips, it's just hearing that it's that pause that my granddad takes to clear his throat and really and recall such a striking memory for him.
Having to ask him these questions that I don't want to ask him, to because it puts him in an uncomfortable position. And I obviously seeing my family, I don't want to see my granddad distraught or in a vulnerable kind of position. But to ask the question, I think, was important. For example, I asked him, looking back on it now, if there's anything you could have done differently in terms of taking the best care for your mother, is there anything that you would have done differently? And And I kind of said that in a reluctantly, because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to provoke regret, like a sense of regret for him. Yeah, just putting my family in uncomfortable positions like was quite like really contributed to that emotional charge for me, and like the emotional weight of everything that that I was doing.
I think one thing that surprised me was how willing your family was, cooperating with our project. Like, it may just seem like a student project, you know, just like a student thing, student assignment. But your family, your mom, your granddad, they were both so willing and cooperative with everything. They were giving us, you know, great answers. Because, you know, for them, it's also, it's a painful but also a good memory of, you know, just your memories with your great-grandmother.
Another thing that surprised me is how well our group executed everything, and how well we got interviews and everything. And without like very few hiccups, within that's really surprising. Usually there's a lot of, especially when it comes to podcasting, getting interviews. You know, we have like extra interviews, which is like great. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's the advantage of like doing a piece on your family, is because like access is there. Like, you know, you can always call them, and usually they want to help you, right? So like, I mean, access is never a problem.
Sometimes that can be hard, because sometimes sometimes there's a language barrier.
Right.
Yeah, so, and then sometimes they don't know what they want to say, and the emotional thing, so access may be easy, but getting the best quotes out of them is hard.
Sure.
And your family did amazing.
There were a lot of complications along the way, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Small things here and there.
Small things, yeah. Doesn't matter.
But then I think, like, Juleika, in a way, revived it.
I'm Anna Maria Mubayed.
I'm Mana Hosseini.
And I'm Mia Johnson.
We produced Coco's Key Change.
First, we were doing a story about a bookshop, and it didn't turn out well because most people didn't want to talk to us about
it. No, we were not getting responses.
Nope,
we were getting very stressed.
Did
you end up getting any responses?
No.
Wow. I got, actually just had another story bookshop email me back yesterday, and they were like, so sorry, I missed this. And I was like,
oh my God.
But that's always, you know, sometimes that's the way it goes. People have difficult schedules, they miss emails, but when we're on deadline, like it's definitely something that's always in the back of our mind, that's so present. You know, we have to get it done. And I think even with the story we're pursuing now, Anna Maria, you didn't really know all the context when you were looking at the original article.
Yeah.
It was talking and reaching out to Kokoma, who's centered in our podcast, that gave us kind of the story.
Mm-hmm. Basically what happened was I found her name in an article from 2013 and I searched it up. It came up that she was a pianist, and I saw some pictures from halls that she's played at and the halls that I recognized in Toronto. So I was like, oh, this is very cool. So I started looking at her social media accounts, like Instagram accounts, and I saw that right now she's, you know, mostly working as an author. So I reached out to her and I wanted to find out what kind of happened in the middle there.
We spoke with Juleika Lantigua, who's the founder of LWC Studios. She's an amazing person in podcasting, and we were very, very excited to have her in class and talk to her.
What is the thesis statement in one sentence? Huddle together before you answer this. In one sentence, what is the thesis statement for this piece?
Juleika pointed at the one thing that we couldn't kind of put our fingers on. And it was the fact that, you know, we had our pitch, we had the overall idea, and we had the goal to the story, but we didn't have what she called a thesis.
The thesis of the story is not Coco. The thesis of the story is something to do with a creative pivot. It's something to do with reimagining your creativity. It's something to do with fighting for other ways to express your gifts. Do you see the difference there?
Yes.
Okay, so now huddle again and tell me, what is the thesis for the story?
We didn't understand that we had to have this bigger scope. That Jaleika cleared that up for us. She was like, this is a story about someone who's determined, someone whose determination took them so, so far in life, even when something so terrible happened. And Jaleika really helped us pinpoint that and move forward with that idea.
Every time we kind of got stuck in sort of script writing or where we wanted to go, I think that was always a grounding point. That's what a thesis is. It's what's driving us. It's what we're reflecting back on when we're trying to figure out what we are trying to say.
There was another line where I say, like, this isn't where the story ends. I had originally put that in so that it sounds a little bit more mysterious. It just worked better without it. But still, because it's something that, you know, it's your creation, so it's in a way hard to take out. But at the end of the day, I do see why we took it out, and I see the value in that. So it did hurt my soul, yes, but it allowed my brain to grow.
Can I redo my name?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, we can all, yeah. Yeah. I'm Joshua Chang.
I'm Jacob Christensen.
I'm Nisha Syed, and we produced The Sound That Stays.
I definitely didn't anticipate how strong our sources were going to be. We actually had to cut a former source that Nusra had interviewed at the beginning because the interview was just so strong and it kind of took away from Allison's story.
My name is Dante Ferraro. I'm 20 years old. I'm part of the men's varsity soccer team and I'm a goalkeeper.
Awesome. Honestly, I was very attached to Dante's story just because I do know him outside of the podcast as well. And, you know, his entire story, like I was there when it happened. So it was difficult. I'm not going to lie, because he is a very good speaker. He was describing things in a way that listening to it, you could really imagine like you were right there when everything happened to him.
But I want to say my first like real concussion where I was like, holy, I don't know if I can say like, holy shit. Like I got hit to the head. I want to say it was 2 years ago. I was playing soccer for League One. I was at practice. The guy was close. I want to say he was like 6 yards apart. He ripped the ball, shot it, hit me in my face like this. My head went back, forward, face to the ground. Don't remember anything that I woke up. I asked my teammates what happened. They're like, yeah, you got hit in the head. Your eyes were crossed, rolled back. And then your nose started bleeding. And you started like, I don't want to say twitching because I don't think it was a seizure. So I'm not going to say twitching, but I was just moving weirdly. Yeah. I woke up bleeding from the nose, felt fine, drove home. Didn't think anything of it. Went to work that same day. A week came by, then I started feeling the symptoms.
And then when you think back to that first experience with a concussion, what one memory sticks out to you the most? So like if someone on the street were to ask you...
The feeling of the ball hitting my nose. I still feel it.
It was an editorial decision that we just had to make because it is a 20-minute podcast. It's not an hour long. And he is such a strong source, like Josh said, that it took away from Allison's story. It was, yes, both about concussions, but they were like two parallel stories about a topic where I don't think we would have been able to do justice to either story in 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it's tough.
I'm really grateful, again, that our sources were so well-spoken and so enthusiastic. And it was just a great experience being able to work with Jacob and Nusra, two very like seasoned journalists, two people that are able to offer a different perspective.
I'm an exchange student from Denmark, and
I reached out to Sherry to ask if I could be in this class because I really like storytelling journalism, and it's definitely been a different experience than back home in Denmark. I think here was definitely a challenge trying to like balance this very big project that's just the entire semester with like everything else you also had to do with like other stories or assignments or just like going to class and like in different courses, and you're having to balance that in your head at the same time, and also just having to do interviews in English, which is not my first language. It was definitely a challenge in the beginning, but I actually remember the second time I interviewed Alison how much more confident I felt doing it in English compared to the first time. It's definitely been an experience for me. I'm very happy that I got to be in this class and work with Joss and Nashra.
We're definitely going to miss Jacob when he goes back to Denmark, but I'm really proud of what we were able to produce.
Really stressful, if I'm being really honest. I think that it was stressful just because, like, we didn't have a story for like a month, so everyone was like a month ahead of us by that point.
I'm Sheila Reed,
and I'm Lily Han, and we produced You Saw My Name Where.
I came in late in the project, so I kind of came into this group where a lot of work needed to be done, but it was a really clear focus. And the thing that I noticed first, like when I met with the group, was, and Lily, you can comment on this, but like Lily's limp, because she'd hurt her foot. And I was like, okay, I need to help carry some of this load. So Lily's not doing everything by herself with like an injured foot.
Yeah, I can confirm that I did injure my foot. It was, I sprained my ankle, and it was like, I was out of commission for like a few weeks, which like really sucked because I couldn't really do anything. Like I was just like bed rest for like the worst time ever. Like exams are now, like holidays. And I was like, I can't move.
And you were exhausted. Like I'm sure you were so exhausted.
Yeah. But overall, I think that like everything started running smoothly after like the script was edited. I remember during editing, I was almost done. I was at like the 18 minute mark or something like that, 16, 18, something like that. And my entire audition crashed. And I was staring at that computer and I was literally like, there's no way.
That's my greatest fear when I'm working in audition is that there's a malfunction and I have no way of recovering anything. I think that's something that is really underestimated is how much work goes into a 15 to 20 minute podcast. So to lose all of that and be somewhat attached to like the way you specifically arranged everything, even though you can just redo it, it's like there's a finesse to it. And sometimes when you're just working on something for so long and you're part of like a show for so long, you start to just get tired in general. You know, your brain gets scrambled. I like felt like I wasn't sure if I was making good choices. So to like kind of click with you guys and like be able to make decisions together was such a relief. It did seem scary to be putting kind of the media on trial.
Honestly, I think we had like a conversation about it. I don't know if we're going to add this in the like the bonus, but I remember like Sheila, me, Bunna, and Jai all had a conversation about it. We were like, do we want to like name drop? Do we want to do this? And we're like, we are young journalists. Like we do want to get jobs. So like, are we really like doing this?
We were really careful to include in the story that Jessica didn't think that McLean's misquoted her. You know, it's like everything we did was like trying to follow the rules. We're not trying to produce something that's more salacious than it is. So I think just like knowing that we were sort of doing a bit of media criticism, it was really that like almost extra important to us professionally to make sure that like we got that story right.
For sure, like the one thing she didn't want to come across was like she didn't want to be like being like I'm putting the media on blasting things. She's like, no, she's like, I love the media. I love talking about my research. I've done so much great work with incredible journalists and great publications. But the fact is, like, she could still think about the media and like think about things that like didn't sit well with her and still like the media.
We Met You When is a production by journalism students from the Creative School at Toronto Metropolitan University. This episode was produced by Daniela Lopez and me, Sheila Reed. Sherry Okeke is our executive producer and professor. Angela Glover is our director of audio production. Our season 2 graphic was created by Mana Hosseini. Web design by Daniela Olariu. Special thanks to Juleka Lantigua, founder of LWC Studios, for her support during our pitching process. And thank you to the Creative School for the curriculum innovation grant that made Juleka's participation possible. I'm Sheila Reed. Thanks for listening.